Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Talk Kidney to Me, your new go-to podcast for all things kidney. We're excited to share this space with you. Whether you or a loved one received a kidney disease diagnosis, you work in the space, or you want to know more about this unique area in healthcare.
Millions have kidney disease, but many don't even know it. We're here to change that.
That's right, Pesh. And the most common causes of kidney disease are diabetes and high blood pressure, which affect more than half of the folks in the U.S. So everyone should be interested in kidney talk. But despite these numbers, kidney disease doesn't get the same attention as other chronic illnesses.
Talk Kidney to Me wants to help change that, featuring the two of us as co-hosts, Sarah Eve, the Kidney Care Pro, and me, Pesh Patel, the transplant recipient who started A Kidney Life. We'll have guests from the kidney community and beyond. Join us for a fun and informative 30 minutes. From nutrition and wellness to exciting innovation, no topic is off limits.
Together, we're bringing awareness, education, and a whole lot of inspiration to the kidney community. All right, here we go. Talk Kidney to Me.
Today's episode is about mental health. If you need help, please talk to somebody. You're not alone in this. It's not always easy. It's not an easy conversation to have, but it's not easy to live with either. So please, speak to somebody, ask for help. It's not too late.
Thanks, Pesh. I think, you know, it's an important message, especially before we talk about some deep stuff on this the conversations we're going to have today. And I'll just add a little bit more color around there that,
sure.
You know, if I add some numbers, we can kind of feel the size of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
There's estimates, you know, with research that up to 40 to 60% of folks on dialysis experience depression or anxiety. As you were sharing some of your dialysis story, for mm-hmm. those of you who don't have an experience with dialysis, I think it's not a big leap to see how that, you know, diagnosis and its treatment could really affect your mental health.
Yes.
And up to 25% of folks who've already received a transplant also experience depression. Right. And as your story will illustrate, transplant doesn't mean that all of the issues are over.
Right.
And, you know, as with any chronic illness, the physical toll can have a big impact on the mental health. Right. The time commitment of dialysis, transplant, mm-hmm. impact on your finances. I know a lot of folks have shared they feel like a burden, right, to their
right.
families, a loss of self, your change in your career, pain, poor sleep, you know, the diet restrictions. You mentioned the fluid restriction. You know, it's easy to see how it can just snowball into something that just feels, you know, unmanageable.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's not just kidney folks, right? And it's not just one group. We all have mental health issues at times, and it's an important topic to talk about. You know, feel like we can remove stigma, normalize these conversations, mm-hmm. Just make them much more everyday. Really, we can't talk about this stuff enough.
No, not at all. All right, well, Sarah Eve, let's get into it.
All right. So in today's episode of Talk Kidney to Me, we're going to talk about one of the most important topics for us as individuals and also as a society, the collective, and that is our mental health. As it said, the quality of your mind is the quality of your life. And it is a daily, sometimes an hourly or by the minute task of keeping our minds healthy. But I've said enough. I think we need to get into it. So Pesh, the topic is mental health and the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you for that. So we'll go back to when I was in Australia and first diagnosed. Overwhelming is the word I will always use to describe that. But I also feel like overwhelming is not a big enough word. From learning that I almost died.
Sure.
Learning that I would need a transplant, even though I didn't know what the hell a transplant meant, but I just knew I needed one. And it just seemed very arduous. Mm-hmm. Now, as I mentioned in a previous episode, I masked how I felt internally by staying in Australia and mm-hmm. working nonstop for 2 weeks.
Did you, when you say mask, did you kind of feel the weight of it and choose to not look at it? Or did you just deny it and just kind of like, this isn't happening, I'm just going to go, my life is normal, I'm going to do these meetings?
Or, it was both.
You knew it was there and you weren't.
Yeah, it was, okay, this is going on, this is happening, especially when I'm going through the dialysis in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is happening, but I also had the meetings and the lunches and the dinners to look forward to.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, well, this is only a couple of hours. There's nothing wrong with me, really. I mean, there's bandages and there's a catheter hanging out of my chest.
Right, but you're physically doing the things that you were there to do, right? Going to meetings, meeting people.
Yeah. And I'm stubborn. So again, that helped in this situation.
Sure.
But it was displaced.
Mm.
And I put it to the side. I deflected it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it didn't really hit me until I got home back to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I believe it was like a Wednesday was a non-dialysis day.
Okay.
And I'm sitting on a recliner watching TV. And all of a sudden, there is no meetings to go to. There's no phone calls to make.
Mm.
There's no emails to send. There's nothing to schedule. It's just there. And I'm just there. And at this point, although I had a great support system in the house, I was just alone.
Sure.
And I just completely lost it. I cried. I thought that no matter what the doctor said, what the nurses said, this is it. I thought that, I mean, in the mildest of terms, this is it.
This is it, meaning?
Like, well, this is my life now.
This is your life now.
Yeah. What if a transplant doesn't happen? What if I'm just going to this dialysis place?
Mm-hmm.
This place where I'm surrounded by, and again, I, in my brain, with dialysis, I thought, well, okay. Well, you know, I'm going to have my own private room. I'm going to have a nice
VIP
little
section, models and bottles.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to
be
sitting there with a big screen TV.
Sure.
And doors closed. And if I need something, I just ring a bell and somebody come to my aid when I need it.
Okay, so
That is
not, for those of you who have not set foot in a dialysis clinic, that is not the typical dialysis experience.
No, not even close.
Yeah.
I'm in a room with at least 15 other people getting dialyzed at the same time.
Sure.
And as I got into it, there were people that had been there for years, like over a decade.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but to think, wait, again, what if I don't get a transplant ever? What if this is the rest of my life? What if I'm going to be like Mr. Joe over there, who's on his 20th year, and this is just his life? Like, this is the new normal.
Sure.
Of just doing dialysis and just feeling like shit all the time.
Yeah.
And never being able to have a chance to come out of it.
So all of that, had that been stewing kind of beforehand? Had you thought about it and just put it down? Or did it all come like a ton of bricks on the recliner, watching daytime TV? And boy, it does, you know, pay me now or pay me later, right?
There's
stuff, you can only ignore this stuff for so long and then it hits.
Yeah, because again, the I'm fine theory doesn't work.
Sure.
Especially when you're going through something like this. If it's something that's, you know, very short term, maybe you can get by with it, as I'm sure a lot of us have.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's this, a consistent thing, something that's in your everyday life, because even if you're not a dialysis, well, you're recovering from dialysis, you're taking the medicine, you're making sure the phosphate binders or whatever you have to do.
Yes. Other appointments you have to,
fluid restrictions, all of it. It's a daily grind.
Yeah.
And then there was a moment where I thought I was going to have a transplant. I thought they had the match for the pair donation to go through, and that fell through.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I just kind of lost it in the sense of, well, I can't cope anymore. I'm a pretty smart individual, but I don't know how to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's only so much TV one can watch. I mean, and again, while I'm watching TV, I'm blanking out thinking about this. This is just in front of my face. And
Can I interject there?
Sure.
You know, so especially from the dude's perspective, right?
Yeah.
I'm, you know, it's a different lived experience. You know, how did your friends react, right? Like your peer group, colleagues or your friends, like, you
know. I didn't tell them.
You didn't tell them the details? You didn't tell them anything?
No, they just knew that I was going through. And my guy Nick, shout out Nick, drove from Baton Rouge to Houston and come see me one day. And I had phone calls and text messages. Again, the support system was there. I was very fortunate because I do know a few people that were in that dialysis room that didn't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They had to rely on a transportation service to bring them to and from.
That is,
they didn't have a caregiver.
No, that is a common experience. For
it's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And so the staff at the dialysis center was their support system. That was their caregivers for the time that they were there. So I didn't experience that, but yet I still felt alone. I asked those questions, why is this happening to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why? And it got to a point where I actually started antidepressants.
Okay.
And I was prescribed.
Did you talk to your PCP or your nephrologist?
Yeah, both.
Both.
And I started it, and it's something I didn't think that I'd ever have to do. It's, you know, I'll admit, I judge at times. And so whenever people, I would see the commercials or I'd hear people mention it or talk about it, I'd be like, why would you ever need an antidepressant?
Mm.
Like, life is great. What's going on? You know, it can't be that bad where you'd never need a pill. But then there I was. And I had my prescription. And fast forward, and I was on it for about 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I believe, a couple of months, if memory's correct. But then one day, I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm like, wait, what are you doing? You do not need these.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm lucky enough to just quit that day after that self-conversation in the mirror and just say, you know what, dude? You're better than this. You don't need this.
Yeah.
And I stopped.
Yeah, quick, you know, Pesh, I gotta keep us on the up and up here.
Sure.
So as a clinician, right, it's not medical advice to just suddenly stop any sort of psychiatric medication, an antidepressant, anxiety meds. Really, that should be a conversation. You know, if that's your goal, that's great, but that should be a conversation with your medical provider, you know, to find an appropriate way to stop that, because, you know, cold turkey isn't the way to go for a lot of those things. But I'm glad it worked out for you.
Yeah.
You know, but you know me and the disclaimers there.
No, and you're right.
Sure.
Because, again, it's with anything in health,
mm-hmm.
right? Everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a different body.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, as Sarah Eve just said, you know, make sure you're always consulting with your medical professional and doing what's right for you.
Mm-hmm. So you quit.
Mm-hmm.
You were on the antidepressants. Did you feel better on them? Did it make a difference?
I just didn't care, foggy, like in the sense of I kind of just helped me just zone out.
Mm. Okay.
So I wasn't thinking at all, is how I felt.
Plus and a minus to being zoned out, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure. But then I quit, and then I just made a conscious effort when I could to just cognitive behavioral therapy help, because I had a therapist at the time.
Right,
and
love that.
She definitely helped me, like, hey, Pesh, you know, you like to read this, and you like to do this, you know, so focus your mind on this, shift your mind, learn how, if you're thinking one thing, well, how can we change it to make it a different outlook, and how can we find the silver lining in things, and so that you don't bear the brunt of everything going on. And remember, the message of you're not alone. You're not the only one going through this.
Sure.
People go through it in different levels and at different stages in their life. So all of those lessons and a lot of reading definitely helped.
Yeah.
And then, of course, what really helped was I was only, fortunately, on dialysis for 15 months before I had the transplant.
Yeah.
So that dialysis time in the grand scheme of things was limited, because I think, as you've mentioned before in a previous episode, some people wait for 10 years for a transplant.
Yeah, for a deceased donor, depends by organ procurement area. But yeah, I think California has the dubious distinction of being the longest wait time, which can be up to 10 years.
Yeah, so I'm very fortunate and grateful I didn't have to wait that long.
Sure.
And then I think, again, I'm feeling great after transplant.
Yeah.
This is over. We're good. We're going to be good.
Oh, those expectations will get you every time, right?
Yeah, I think that's what the Dalai Lama has said before, which is like, you know, if you want to live a happy life, don't have any expectations, because then there's no disappointments.
Sure.
And fast forward to last year,
mm-hmm.
I go to England and Wales for my birthday. I hadn't been able to fly anywhere in 3.5 years.
Okay.
And as you know, I love to travel.
Yes.
And new experiences, but I wanted to go back to London. I just miss London. It's my favorite city in the world.
Yeah.
And so I go there. And of course, your boy, being a bit stubborn, decided, hey, I've taken care of myself so well. let me just not.
Woohoo! Let's go crazy.
Yes.
And we all do it. Listen, we all do it. You know, you feel good and then you overdo it.
Yeah.
You just got to prove it to yourself. Put your hand on the stove.
Yes.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. So pints of Guinness and beef Wellingtons and everything else. It was great. Amazing trip. But I cut my trip short. Cut my trip short because I wasn't feeling well.
Okay.
So as I'm not feeling well, I'm in bed. And when I say I'm in bed, Sarah, I mean I'm in bed from May, when I got back, until about July.
And just, this was, let's just clarify, right? Because you shared before that, you know, you weren't feeling well and it was a rejection, right? It was an episode with this. But this wasn't a rejection. This was physically you were doing okay. You were stable, yeah?
Yeah.
But you were staying in bed because...
I had no energy.
Okay.
And I was just sick. My GFR, my kidney function percentage was at 8.
Okay.
My creatinine, 7.4.
Oh.
Yeah. So had no energy, didn't feel well. And I really thought, even though I'd gone through rejection, had COVID twice.
Wow.
Gone through all of those things. Crashed into dialysis, excuse me.
Yeah.
As we had mentioned in Australia, but this was, I felt the worst. Felt so bad, in fact, that I wrote my last will and testament. And I gave a copy of that to my parents, which they...
I kind of feel bad for your folks, right? You call them from Australia saying, hey guys, I'm going to the ICU, but I'm totally fine.
Yeah.
You say, hey, here's my last will and testament. I'm cool though, right?
Yeah. So I wrote that out. I gave them a copy. And then my big brother in Atlanta, he has a copy and he didn't want to read it.
Why was it important? You know, why was it important to get that down?
It was important because I thought this was really it this time.
Okay.
Okay. I was just kidding the first time, but this was really it this time.
It's the big one. Okay.
Yeah, this is it. And then I wanted them to let them know my wishes. And I just felt defeated, and honestly, as much as I had fought previously, I didn't think I had enough energy to fight anymore. That was a big part of it. I thought, okay, whew, it's been a good run, though. At least I got to go to London one more time.
Yeah.
So I am self-deprecating, as you know, and I try to joke my way out of things.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I've learned in the past where I've used humor, again, to use the word, a mask.
Sure.
Of what's really going on. But no, I just kind of accepted it. And I said, okay, this is it. Again, glad I got to go to England. I'm glad I got to see Old Trafford, which is the stadium for Manchester United.
That's soccer?
Yep.
Okay.
That's
football,
soccer.
Football.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much for clarifying.
Is that all I know?
So I made the pilgrimage there. I didn't get to see a match, but at least I got to see the stadium. And again, I have been fortunate enough and blessed enough in my life where I've had a lot of experiences, a lot of great experiences from traveling, from trying amazing food, from amazing chefs, meeting amazing people.
Sure.
Doing all those things, I am very lucky. I am a person that has lived a better life, I would say, from certain aspects than a lot of people have had the opportunity to. So I was okay with it. I was okay with death. I was okay with going through what I'd gone through.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I was okay with that being it for me.
Yeah. So
then the idea of creating this newsletter happened. And then it's like, okay, well, if I'm going to help people, I kind of have to be around.
Oh, purpose, right? Finding
a purpose
finding that a pulls purpose. You out of that.
Like, why the hell are you getting out of bed in the morning? And I found that with a kidney life.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, and I have aspirations for kidney life. We'll go into that in another episode in the future. But the basis of it was, I'm going to help people. Well, in order for me to help people, I can't be a hypocrite. And I can't just lay my ass in bed. I need to
writing a newsletter saying, you guys should really, I'm a kidney warrior. You guys should work really hard.
Eat healthy. Get outside and do all the good things that life has.
I love it.
I can't do that sulking in my damn bed.
Yeah.
So creating a kidney life and having a purpose and finding my purpose.
Sure.
And really narrowing down what helping people, and from my perspective, mm-hmm. meant, that's what started changing. And then again, the mental side of things, because I tell people, I think that the doctor is going to do what the doctor is going to do. The nurses, the medical professional is going to do what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you for your diet and nutrition and for your mental health. That's on you.
Yeah, control the things you can, right?
Yes, without a doubt. And so, ironically, mental health and being healthier from the mental perspective is what got me to where we are today.
Well, right. We see that. You know, you often think about it as, you know, our physical health impacts our mental health, but that's a two-way street, right? Mm-hmm. Our mental health, you know, has an impact on our physical health, not just, you know, metabolically, right? But the choices we make, I mean, you can change your whole world, right? Change your mind, change your world.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thanks. I mean, thanks for sharing all of that. You know, I think part of it that resonates with me, and I know I've said this, right? Like I can't do anymore, right? Like I'm done being strong. I don't want to be a fighter. I don't want to fight anymore. I don't, you know, I'm done. I don't have anything left, right? Like, you know, so I think a lot of people, right, we've probably all been there. We thought, I just can't do this anymore. I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know?
Cause it's so easy to just quit.
Yeah.
It's easy, you know, but no, we don't need to. You know, there's people that love us. There's people that will support us, that will be there for us. And we have to remember that.
Yeah. Right. And it sounds like then, you know, a kidney life changed your life, right? I mean,
yes.
Yeah. I also love, you know, in the circles I run in, a lot of things about like, right, if you want to heal the world, heal yourself, right? Like how we view ourselves and how we view ourselves and treat ourselves is how we treat others. And so, you know, we treat ourselves with loving, kindness, compassion, all the things we would give to our best friends, our family, you know, that really makes a difference. You know, we have to care for ourselves as much as we care for, you know, the people around us.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Well, I'm glad that there is a happy, I won't say ending, because there's never really an ending, but a happy middle.
Yes.
You know, and that I think going through those things has shaped you. And, you know,
without a doubt,
has shaped, you know, even why we're here today, right?
Yes.
I mean, without that,
right.
It's divine timing all the way around.
Yes, I completely agree. I completely agree.
Yeah.
What about you, Sarah Eve? How about you let us a little insight to you?
Sure. So I shared in episode one that my first real job out of college was at a inpatient psychiatric mm-hmm. unit. And so, you know, I've not really ever had a stigma around mental health issues or taking medication, you know, just through the course of, you know, my career and choices there, you know, I've had a pretty open mind about those things. And, you know, I haven't been diagnosed with a chronic illness, but I've had all the typical human setbacks and heartaches, right?
Yeah.
Relationships, unexpected career changes, you know, who am I, my sense of self, my fulfillment. You know, I shared that I had a natural disaster last year, my house flooded, you know, and I'm a mom. Hey, Claire.
Hey, Claire.
Hey, Freddie. I'm a mom. And, you know, that brings a whole new facet to, you know, your mental health, right? Because it's the hormonal changes, the constraints around time for self-care. You have a whole new set of worries and anxieties that just grow as your child grows, mm-hmm. you know, but less space. And, you know, I'm a pretty sunny person, but I've definitely had my dark days, my cloudy months. It's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have a routine? Do you have a process for these things? Is this something, as you've gone through different issues, I will say, I don't know if issue is the right word, but different things in your life, is there a routine? Is there a fallback that you have that helps you get through moments?
Yeah. So I think, you know, I've been fortunate over the years to, you know, be able to have that arm's length and kind of see myself, you know, like the patterns that I have, the things that I do, right? I know that, you know, if it's one day, it's okay. But if it gets a little bit longer and then I stop reaching out to people and, you know, so I made a point of kind of like observing myself and really understanding myself and kind of what my triggers are and where I go. And then over the years, right, like building a toolbox for those things and, you know, right. Like over the year, you know, through trial and error, you know, you kind of really, you know, I figured out like you know, what my triggers are, where my tendencies are, and then what are the tools that help that. And then, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, for the past number of years, I've been in a pretty good place where, you know, I can keep up that, I can keep my toolbox up in a preventative way, right? So I don't have to wait. I know that if I don't do these things, that just the daily life and the human experience can grind me down. And so, you know, it's like taking a vitamin, right? I take it every, I do these things every week, and it keeps me on the level, right? So I have a pretty good toolbox. Yeah. I attend a support group at least once a week. That's my goal. And it's as much for me to share as it is to hold space for others. I always tell my kiddo that, you know, farts and feelings better out than in.
Yeah.
So, you know, I practice that. I go to support groups. Yoga and meditation is a big part of that. You know, exercise, physical activity, you know, investing in myself as far as like trying new hobbies, you know, social support, right? Getting out, like do the lake cleanups, right?
Sure.
Around other people, being outside. And so I've been pretty fortunate to, you know, have built that toolbox and be self-aware enough that I'm like, you know, I know if I just keep doing these things, even if I feel good, I have to keep doing these things and I have to make the time and I have to prioritize that, right? Because the quality of your mind is the quality of your life.
Yes.
And I can't be, you know, a healthcare professional and a great mom and a podcaster and a writer and all these things. Like all of that falls to I almost said the S word.
Yeah, you leave that to me.
All of that falls away if I don't take care of myself. And so it can feel selfish sometimes.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and I think as a woman, that's maybe part of our kind of shared experience is that it feels selfish to put boundaries up or to not do for others sometimes or to take the time to, you know, do what I want to do.
Yeah.
But I need to do that. And if I don't do those things, it never turns out well. So I'm very thankful for, you know, the happiness and peace that I've been able to nurture, you know, in my home, in my mind, and in my family over the past maybe, you know, 5 years or so. I really hit a stride.
No, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But I have to ask, because I get approached, especially now with the kidney life, hey, I'm going through dialysis, or hey, I'm expecting a transplant, or my father's looking to get a transplant. What advice do you have for that? You as a professional, and if you want to touch on as a woman,
sure.
Like if somebody were to come to you and ask for a piece of advice about, hey, listen, I'm just going through it.
Yeah.
I'm overwhelmed. I feel like I'm underwater. What advice do you have for me? If you could just share one thing that you would give advice to somebody, what would that be for mental health?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, the advice that I would share is, you know, never worry alone, right? Like when we share our problems, they are halved. Mm-hmm. Again, farts and feelings better out than in. And it can be really difficult and it can feel scary, you know, but you just got to talk to somebody. And beyond the, like you were saying, right, I'm fine, I'm doing good, you know, everything's okay, you know, to really just to get real, at least have one person that you feel like you can get real with. Even, you know, last year my house flooded, you know, and at first you get a lot of support and then everyone kind of goes back to their lives. Meanwhile, I'm still, you know, I don't have walls or floors or doors or sinks,
sure,
you know, and so you can feel very alone and separate from others.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, that's something is when I feel separate, that my life experience is different or worse or nobody would understand. And the minute I talk to somebody else, you, whoever, right? It just boils down to such a similar common human experience. The details are different. The story is the same. And so for me, support groups, you know, I go to an anonymous support group. We all know each other's first names. We all chit chat. You go up, you can say anything you need to.
Right.
You get it off. And I, every single week, somebody will say, I thought that same thing. It's like you're telling my story, right? And you just realize that you are not alone. You are not separate.
Yeah.
And there is no unhappiness that is too great to be, you know, lessened, right? There is nowhere you can't get your way out of.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking that, though.
No, and I appreciate you sharing. Yeah. And I know everybody listening really appreciates that. And again, it goes to show that even when you think everything's okay and you're in the clear, things come in wave. There are ebbs and flows in life, and we have to be mindful of that. And that's why, as Sarah Eve does, you have a toolbox. You have something that you can go to, because mental health is something that you cannot just wing it.
No.
I'm a fan of winging in life, okay? I am. I enjoy that. It's, that, you know, to my detriment at times.
Tesh did not tell a lie. That is correct.
And but with mental health, it's serious. It affects too many people.
Yeah.
And too many people feel lost. Too many people feel alone. And people feel embarrassed. People feel like, oh, nobody wants to hear from me. Nobody wants to hear my problems. They feel a burden, a term you've used. They feel like, oh, they're going to bother somebody with their problems. No, unless you share, you're not going to get better on this on your own. You have to talk to somebody.
Yeah, right. And we all know it's going to happen, right? We all know that you're, and it's irrational, it's unpredictable. It could be one comment that, you know, that can set you off. And so I just think it's a great practice to have that toolbox, make it a consistent practice. Because, you know, right, there's always thunderstorms ahead.
Yeah, you know? And we suffer so much in our head.
Yeah.
It's like Seneca said, we suffer more in imagination than we do in real life.
Yeah.
And so we have to remember that there are people that are there to help.
For sure. For sure. Oh, that was a good one. I feel a little worn out, though. This is a deeper one than just talking about our childhood and, you know.
We said a lot.
Hospitals. We did. It was great, though. I'm so happy that, you know, you were here for a part of this journey with us. And, you know, please share your stories with us. Share them with Pesh at A Kidney Life. You know, we want to hear from you on this topic. But that wraps our episode on mental health. Certainly not the only time we're going to talk about this important subject.
No.
But in our next episode, we are going to have our first guest.
I can't wait.
I know, inviting somebody into Talk Kidney with me. It's going to be somebody that you might recognize if you are in the community. And if you don't know them yet, you'll definitely want to. So tune into the next episode of Talk Kidney to Me for our first guest. And if you haven't listened to those first three episodes, that's your homework. Go back and do that now. Listen in, catch up, and tune in.
And if you haven't subscribed, please do so now.
Oh, thank you.
Appreciate you.
This has been Talk Kidney to Me with your hosts, Sarah Eve Schaefer and Pesh Patel. If you're enjoying the show, hit that subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode.
Follow us on social media at Talk Kidney to Me on LinkedIn, and Talk Kidney to Me, that's the number two, on Instagram.
We'd love to hear from you. Email us at info@talkkidneytome.com or contact Pesh on LinkedIn or through Instagram at A Kidney Life. Sarah Eve can be reached on LinkedIn or at saraheve.com. Until we talk kidney again, light and love to you all, and thanks for listening.
The Talk Kidney to Me podcast is for general information purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional health care services, including the giving of medical advice. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions.